I think oftentimes we look at things and situations, and perhaps even look at ourselves. We look at things that are small and say that it's really hard to have any great expectations for those small things. And sometimes we look at our own lives, our own abilities, and we see them through our perception, through our eyes, and we see them as small. And we see our abilities as not amounting to enough to accomplish the things of our life. And then when we look at that from the perspective of the things that God has planned for, sometimes it becomes overwhelming. We think, I look at myself, I know my weaknesses, I know my flaws, I know how small I can be, and it's hard for me to picture Jesus being able to do through me the things that we know, that His Word says, and that we know in our own souls, that we know that He's spoken for us to do. It's easy for us to look at ourselves and see ourselves in those ways. And one of the great verses, and I didn't turn there, but because I didn't even think about it, but one of the great verses is from the book of Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 4, it talks to us about those small things. It talks to us about the day of small beginnings. This is what it says in Zechariah 4, verse number 10. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Who will despise the day of small things? In other versions, it says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. You know, we look at things, and it's easy for us to despise those small things, especially when we see those small things in ourselves or in our lives. But the Word of God says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. There's big things that come from small beginnings. Big things take place from what we perceive as small things. So when you look at yourself or you look at your own life, and you are believing for those big things, you're believing for those promises of God, but you look at the small, there's nothing wrong with being in a small place. There's sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, I'm not ready for the things of God. I'm not ready to believe. I'm not ready to have Him work through me. I'm just not ready to accomplish those things because we look and we see that we're small. We look and we see that our faith is small. We look and see that our experiences in the spiritual realm are small. There's nothing wrong with small beginnings. It doesn't matter where you start. But if you start today and you start standing on the Word, standing in faith, believing His Word and speaking His Word, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Even in that small beginning, He can do great and astounding things. We have examples throughout the Word of God how the Lord uses small things and the individuals who are small. He uses the small to do great and overwhelming things. If you feel like you're at a place where you're not strong, you're not big, you look at other people and say, you know, that's a super saint. That's somebody that is strong in the Lord. That's somebody that maybe I aspire to be, but I don't think I ever could be that. You know, that's someone that's large in the body of Christ. That's not me. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. If today's the day that you start stretching your faith, believing the Word, if today's the day that you start to say, the Word is true, I believe the Word, and I believe it's true for my life. If today's the day that you start that small beginning, you will see God do great things. And He does big things. He does huge things through the small. And one of the great examples of that let's look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 9 in verse 21. This is talking about Saul. This is Saul before Saul became the king, before he was even anointed to be king. And Saul was out searching something lost for his father. So he's out searching for the donkey. And it says in verse number 21, Saul answered, but I'm not a Benjamite. Well, let's go back a little bit. Saul comes and sees Samuel. And Samuel says, I am Samuel the seer. Samuel replied, go up ahead of me to a high place, for today you will eat with me. And in the morning I will let you know and I will tell you all that is in your heart. As for the donkey you lost 3 days ago, don't worry about that. They have found him. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned? If not to you, then to your father's family. Samuel is telling Saul that you're the one who's going to be the king. You're the one that I'm calling. You're the one that God called. And as the prophet, as the man of God, I am telling you, you're going to be the king. And we're going to anoint you as the king. Now here's Saul's answer. When he finds out that he came searching for a lost donkey, and when not knowing where else to go, he knows that Samuel, the man of God, is in that town. So let's go to Samuel and seek Samuel. And when he goes to Samuel, Samuel identifies him as the one who's going to be the king, the one called by God to be the king of Israel. Saul wasn't looking for that. Saul, actually, we always picture Saul in all the later chapters and all the later stories where Saul was filled with pride, filled with hatred, filled with fear. Saul is the one that turned against David. Saul's the one that lost the kingdom. We forget that he started very humble, very, very humble. When you look at the early verses relating to Saul, very, very humble. And we see here when Samuel says to him, "You're the one that is going to be the king of Israel." Saul answered, "But I'm not a Benjamite. I'm sorry, but am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me?" Saul's looking at himself after he hears from Samuel, the man of God. The man of God says, "You're going to be the king. You're the one that God has called. You're going to be the, I'm going to anoint you as the king of Israel." And Saul's like, "Do you understand who I am? I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. That's the least tribe of all the 12 tribes. Benjamin is the smallest tribe. And of all the clans of Benjamin, I'm from the smallest clan." So you're talking about the one, you're talking about anointing the one who's from the smallest clan out of the smallest tribe. How can that be? Why do you say such a thing to me? You see, Saul's viewing himself in the natural. Saul's viewing himself, and he's looking at his surroundings. He's looking at his upbringing. He's looking at his clan. He's looking at his tribe, and he's saying, "This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm from the smallest clan of the smallest tribe. That's not who God would choose." Saul's looking at things from a natural perspective. But again, we see that God called, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the small things. Don't despise the least of things. Saul saw himself as the least. How many times in our lives do we see ourselves, and the way we view ourselves, we see ourselves as the least. We see ourselves as too weak. We look at our history and say, "You know, I've tried to stand on the Word before, and it just didn't work. Or I just haven't spent enough time in the Word." Or whatever thousand answers we would give as we look back at our own experience and say, "Things didn't work before. I tried the Word, and it didn't work. I tried faith, and it didn't work. This was my experience." Forget the past. Because when you view yourself from the past and you view yourself from what was before, especially if you view yourself from the failures, you're seeing yourself as very small. Instead of seeing yourself that way as Saul did, Saul should have seen himself through the eyes of God. He should have seen himself through the eyes of the man of God, Samuel, who looked at him and knew from God that this is the one who's going to be the king of Israel. I wouldn't say that Saul despised the day of small beginnings, but Saul was uncertain about the day of small beginnings, because this is the day that he's told he's going to be king, and this is the day he looked and saw how small he was, and yet this is what God uses. Again, I emphasize, if you look at yourself and you see yourself as being small and weak, and you compare yourself to other Christians, and you compare yourself to other believers, and you see them as strong and superior spiritually to you, you look at them and you only hope to maybe aspire to someday possibly be like them, forget all those comparisons. When you look at yourself as the one, because it's not you, it's not me, it's Christ in me. Anything that happens through me or in my life, anything that advances the kingdom of God, anything that is evidence that shows the Word of God is true, anything you see in my life that is praiseworthy or good or glorious, it's all not me, it is Jesus Christ. It's Christ within me. Same thing is true for you. Doesn't matter how small you are, Christ is large in you. Doesn't matter what your background is. Saul said, "I'm from the least clan of the least tribe." Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter how small it appears. It's Jesus that's in you. Jesus is larger, more than enough for you. But it's our perceptions that keep us from moving forward. It's our perceptions that keep us from believing that God can do those things through us. So we see that through Saul. We can also see that, you know, excellent example of that from the book of Judges. Of course, Gideon is the exact same. In fact, the verbiage that Gideon uses is very similar to what we just saw from Saul. In Judges chapter 6, verse number 15. Now let's get a little running start on this. In verse number 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joash, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. So here's the Midianites. They're oppressing the Israelites so much so, they're coming and taking everything, everything from the Israelites. And so for Gideon to thresh his wheat He can't take it to the threshing floor because he knows the Midianites will be there waiting for it, and they'll take all that he has, all the wheat. So he takes it up to the winepress and does his threshing there, which is crazy if you knew what that was all like. But that's Gideon. That's where he's at. He's not seen himself as an overcoming victor in the Lord. He's on the run and hiding. There's not a lot of faith being done here. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Other versions say, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of God." Now, this is a funny image because here's Gideon. Gideon is hiding. Gideon is not demonstrating the qualities that you and I would look at and say, "Well, that's a mighty warrior. That is a man of valor." Because he's hiding from the Midianites. He's not at the threshing floor. He's at the wine press. I'm sorry, he went down to the wine press. He's at the wine press, which is down in the lower parts. And the wine presses were always down in the lower valley. The threshing floors were in the open areas, and sometimes, if they could, up on the high elevations, because part of the threshing is you take all of the wheat with all of the kernel, with all the chaff, and once you thresh it and once you break it up, you winnow it. You get a winnowing fork. You pick it up by the scoop, and you throw it up in the air, and the heavy material, which is the seed, falls down while the wind catches all the chaff and all the husk and blows it away. So all the seeds fall to the ground, and this is how you separate the seed from the chaff. But you have to be up in the high open places where the wind can come across and do that. Well, he's not in the high open places because he knows if he's in the high open places, the Midianites are just going to come and take all of his wheat. There's no bravery here. There's no courage. Instead, you get a picture of Gideon down at the wine press, which is going to be enclosed and covered. There's no wind that's going to be there. So he's winnowing. He's threshing his wheat and winnowing. He's got to be covered. He's probably hot and sweaty. And he's throwing all this seed and chaff and all the husk up in the air. And there's no wind to take it away. So he probably has all that chaff and all that husk. He's probably covered in all that dust and debris because he's not a mighty man of God in the natural sense when you look at him. In his cowardice, he's down in the wine press covered in all kinds of dirt and grime trying to separate his wheat. And yet, the angel of the Lord comes and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior, man of God." Because God saw what was in Gideon. Gideon is not demonstrating any kind of courage or bravery here in the natural, but God saw the soul of Gideon. And he saw what Gideon could be with God in him. Again, it doesn't matter how small you are. It's not you. It's the Christ in you. God saw Gideon in his fear, making a mess of himself, and yet he saw what Gideon could be in him. And in that vision, he called Gideon a mighty warrior. Gideon wasn't a warrior. He's running from the enemy. But God saw what he could be and what he would be through God. Now let's go down a little bit. Verse number 13 says, "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all of his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of the Midians." The Lord turned to him and said, Go in the strength you have, and save Israel from the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Now here we go, verse number 15. "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Again, we see that same imagery, almost the same verbiage that we see later in the book of 1 Samuel when we read about Saul. Here's Gideon. Gideon views himself not as strong, not as an overcomer. Gideon even questions God and says, "But Lord, how can this be? But sir, if the Lord is with us, why has this happened?" Gideon is looking at the past and seeing that I have not seen any of the power. I've not seen the evidence. Our fathers told us about the great things that God did, but we haven't seen that. Why haven't we seen that? If this is true, why have we not seen those miracles? Why have we not seen it? My past tells me something different. And because in his past he didn't see the miracles, he's viewing everything, and including himself, as small. He's viewing God as being small as well. And yet the angel of the Lord speaks to him, calls him a mighty warrior, and says, "Have I not told you? You will save Israel from the Midianites." And then Gideon's response to that is, "Wait a minute, do you not see? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. Look, Saul said, my tribe is the smallest tribe, and I'm from the smallest clan. Midian's going even further. Midian's saying, look, my clan is the weakest in all of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. He's not just saying that his clan is the least. He's saying, my clan is the least, and I'm the least in my clan. I'm not picturing Gideon as being a big, strong hero type. I'm picturing Gideon as being, you know, somewhat small, average or small, not strong, not an imposing figure, not an intimidating figure whatsoever. He says, I'm the least of my family. God took the rut of the litter when he took Gideon. We see Gideon was looking, and Gideon looked at the past, and because he saw the past as small, he saw himself as small. But you'll also see that Gideon heard that word, and that Gideon was obedient, and that Gideon did deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And that's the word I want you to see today. When you look at yourself, and you look at your own life, and you look at your own experiences, and you say, you know, I listened to ministers, I listen to preachers share the word, and I hear them say these great things, but I haven't experienced it. And so you see yourself as small. You don't think those things are going to happen in your life. You can't see God doing those things through you. Your vision is small. You're seeing yourself as the least of the least, just as Gideon was, just as Saul was. But God used both Saul and Gideon, who was the least of the least, God used both of them. And he used Gideon, who was the least, to in Gideon himself with God. It was God working through Gideon that delivered the Israelites from the far mightier hand of the Midianites. Gideon started off by seeing things as small, but he didn't despise the day of small beginnings. He saw himself as the least of the least, but he didn't despise. And he believed God. And in that belief, he believed God, and God did great things through him. Same thing is true for you. You might look at your life and you might look at yourself and say that I'm not strong. I don't know how God could ever use me. But in the same way that God looked at Gideon, and God, even when Gideon showed himself as being weak and not a warrior, God saw Gideon as Gideon would be with God. God saw the inner man. God saw his heart. God saw what he could be through God. And God, seeing that, called him a mighty warrior. You might see yourself as the least of the least, but God is seeing what you can be and should be with Jesus Christ. And Jesus is in you. And he's calling you a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God, a warrior of God. And if you'll believe that, even though you see yourself right now as the least of the least, and you see this as a small beginning, Gideon took that small beginning, that day of the small beginning, and he saw himself, he believed the words of the Lord, he saw himself that way, and he accomplished that, and did great things that we still talk about today. Thousands and thousands of years later, we still talk about that. Same thing will be true for you. Doesn't matter what your past is. See yourself the way God sees you. God saw Midian through his own eyes. God sees you with Christ in you.